letters. Sorry, sir? Oh, nothing, Mr. Grote. Well done. You said there was good news. Is there any of the other sort, perhaps? Some people didn't like getting their mail, sir. Things got posted through the wrong doors, said Moist. Oh, no, sir. But old letters ain't always welcome. Not when they're, as it might be, a will, as in last will and testament, sir, the old man added meaningfully. As in, it turns out the wrong daughter got mum's jewellery 20 years ago, as it were. Oh, dear, said Moist. The watch had to be called in, sir. There was what they call in the papers a rumpus in Weaver Street, sir. There's a lady waiting for you in your office, sir. Oh, God, not one of the daughters. No, sir. She's a writing lady from the Times. You can't trust them, sir, although they do a very reasonable crossword, Grote added conspiratorially. What does she want me for? Couldn't say, sir. I expect it's 'cause you're postmaster. Go and make her some tea or something, will you? Said Moist, patting his jacket. I'll just go and pull myself together. 2 minutes later, with the stolen paper tucked safely away, Moist strode into his office. Mr. Pump was standing by the door, fiery eyes banked, in the stance of a golem with no current task other than to exist, and a woman was sitting in the chair by Moist's desk. Moist weighed her up. Attractive, certainly, but dressing apparently to play down the fact while artfully enhancing it. Bustles were back in fashion in the city for some inexplicable reason, but her only concession there was a bum roll, which achieved a certain perkiness in the rear without the need to wear 27 pounds of dangerously spring-loaded underwear. She was blonde, but wore her hair in a bag net, another careful touch, while a small and quietly fashionable hat perched on top of her head to no particular purpose. A large shoulder bag was by her chair, a notebook was on her knee, and she wore a wedding ring. "Mr. Lipvig," she said brightly, "I am Miss Cripslock, from the Times." "Okay, wedding ring, but nevertheless Miss," thought Moist. "Handle with care. Probably has views. Do not attempt to kiss hand." "And how can I assist the Times?" he said, sitting down and giving her a non-condescending smile. "Do you intend to deliver all the backlog of mail, Mr. Lipvig?" "If at all possible, yes," said Moist. "Why?" "It's my job. Rain, snow, gloom of night, just as it says over the door. Have you heard about the fracas in Weaver Street? I heard it was a rumpus. I'm afraid it got worse. There was a house on fire when I left. Doesn't that worry you?" Miss Cripslock's pencil was suddenly poised. Moist's face remained expressionless as he thought furiously. "Yes, it does, of course," he said. "People shouldn't set fire to houses. But I also know that a Mr. Parker of the Merchants Guild is marrying his boyhood sweetheart on Saturday. Did you know that?" Miss Cripslock hadn't, but she scribbled industriously as Moist told her about the greengrocer's letter. "That's very interesting," she said. "I will go and see him immediately. So you're saying that delivering the old mail is a good thing?"
"Delivering the mail is the only thing," said Moist, and hesitated again. Just on the edge of hearing was a whispering.
"Is there a problem?" said Miss Cripslock.
"What? No. What was I? Yes, it's the right thing. History is not to be denied, Miss Cripslock, and we are a communicating species, Miss Cripslock." Moist raised his voice to drown out the whispering. "The mail must get through. It must be delivered."
"You needn't shout, Mr. Lipvig," said the reporter, leaning backwards.
Moist tried to get a grip, and the whispering died down a little. "I'm sorry," he said, and cleared his throat. "Yes, I intend to deliver all the mail. If people have moved, we will try to find them. If they have died, we'll try to deliver to their descendants. The post will be delivered. We are tasked to deliver it, and deliver it we will. What else shall we do with it? Burn it? Throw it in the river? Open it to decide if it's important? No. The letters were entrusted to our care. Delivery is the only way."
The whispering had almost died away now, so he went on, "Besides, we need the space. The post office is being reborn." He pulled out the sheet of stamps.
"With these!"
She peered at them, puzzled. "Little pictures of Lord Vetinari," she said.
"Stamps, Miss Cripslock. One of those stuck on a letter will ensure delivery anywhere within the city. These are early sheets, but tomorrow we'll be selling them gummed and perforated for ease of use. I intend to make it easy to use the post. Obviously, we are still finding our feet, but soon I intend that we should be capable of delivering a letter to anyone, anywhere in the world."
It was a stupid thing to say, but his tongue had taken over.
"Aren't you being rather ambitious, Mr. Lipvig?" she said. "I'm sorry, I don't know any other way to be," said Moist.
"I was thinking that we do have the clacks now."
"The clacks?" said Moist. "I dare say the clacks is wonderful, if you wish to know the prawn market figures from Genoa. But can you write S-W-A-L-K on a clacks? Can you seal it with a loving kiss? Can you cry tears onto a clacks? Can you smell it? Can you enclose a pressed flower?